The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 3. First Echoes of the Dead Planet.
The Era of Her Benevolence. Empress Feferi Paxis. Imperial Research Vessel Peritus. In orbit around Colony World 508.
Arania Circuit slept, and as she slept, she dreamed. Dreams that she would not remember for some time, when their full meaning finally came to fruition. For reasons known only to the buried depths of her unconscious mind, she was expected to wake in the brilliant, streaming daylight of a new world. The golden rays of an unfamiliar sun setting the glinting threads of her outfit alight. Instead, she awoke exactly as she'd been, finding herself still sitting up in the same near-total darkness she'd fallen asleep in, still wearing the same tank top and utilitarian panties that she'd fallen asleep in, still nursing the same awful headache that had been burrowing its way through her skull when she'd fallen asleep. Across the tiny room, her personal console was blasting amber light out, a single message announcing its existence to her.
Incoming hyperlight com. Top secret, eyes only.
Arania started mentally doing the math in her head, trying to figure out when the hyperlight message had been sent. It must have been right after they left. And if they had dropped into normal space again, that would give the message a chance to catch up to the ship. Whatever this was feeling very intentional. She scooted to the edge of the bunk and swung her legs out over the side, feeling the cool press of the deck against her bare feet. Reaching out, Arania tapped a button on the terminal, then keyed in her passcode. The screen blinked once, hung for a moment, and then scrolled to life as a message appeared on the screen.
Attention, Major Arania Circuit. Imperial Ministry of Science. This message is eyes only. Dissemination of the information contained herein is punishable by indefinite confinement to an Imperial Culling Center. Hear now the words of her benevolence.
Major Circuit, I want to personally impress upon you how important this mission is, both to me and to the Beforean Empire. I wish I could tell you more, but I ask that you place your trust in me and act as my loyal hand. Your service to the Empire will not be forgotten, nor will it be ignored. On behalf of myself and my heiress, Mina Paxis, I thank you.
These are the words of her benevolence. Heed them well. Glory to her benevolence. May her kindness light our lives.
Arania sat, staring at the terminal for a few minutes, not entirely sure what to do. The words burned in the orange plasma of the display, hanging there in the darkness as she struggled to fully understand, struggled to wrap her mind around the enormity of receiving a message from the Empress herself.
Is this because I...
But no, that couldn't be it. Mina had been discreet enough, and she very much doubted that the Empress cared what lower-ranking officers her heiress decided to fuck in her spare time. It didn't feel insincere, either. If the Empress had done something against her, she very much doubted that she'd be anywhere other than the far side of a biomatter recycler by now. The screen blinked out another message, overlaid.
Message will self-destruct. Press N to abort.
A short timer at the bottom, counting down from 10. Arania sat, her arms slack at her sides, and tried to remember her dream. That felt important somehow.
9.
But nothing came to her. Even the vague sense she'd had when she woke up had been banished by the gloom of her cabin.
8.
She was here to do a job. If they'd dropped out of hyperlight, she'd no doubt be contacted shortly to inform her that it was time to head down to the colony.
7.
Arania stood up, stretching out until her back let out a faint pop and twisting her neck back and forth, trying to stop the headache that was still, in spite of everything, tormenting her.
6.
She walked over to the small closet and selected a fresh uniform, sharply creased pants, and a newly starched dress blouse.
5.
Everything went on. Boring regulation uniform over her boring regulation underwear.
4.
Finally, she slipped on a new pair of socks and her duty boots, insulating her feet against the cold of the deck.
3.
If she thought about it, and she didn't like to think about it, the uniform was a kind of insulation, too.
2.
And what did that mean exactly? Insulation against what was the question that she should be asking herself?
1.
And if she allowed herself to walk too far down that path, maybe the ground would become slippery. Maybe the downhill to the ultimate conclusion would become too steep to resist.
Message has been purged. Have a pleasant night.
The terminal beeped once, and Arania blinked at the screen as it announced itself without further fanfare. The message was gone, forever relegated to the digital ether, as it was decomposed into its component electrons and scrambled in a way that would ensure it could never be recovered. Bioelectric storage burned clean, writing nothing where something had been before. Now only a fragment in her memory. Bioelectric storage that could only be burned clean by death or time. Arania turned on the lights, banishing the amber-tinged darkness as the overheads came on and flooded the room with light that was custom-calibrated to be the perfectly neutral shade of white. She looked down at her uniform, down at the marker of her place in the Bephoran fleet and society at large, and took a deep breath to steady herself. It didn't ultimately matter what meaning was behind the hyperlight message, because she didn't have any choice in the matter. Either she would do her duty to the Empire, or there would be consequences for her insubordination. Well, padded consequences edged in rich velvet, perhaps, but with a solid steel heart that would destroy her to the utmost. It wasn't even a surprise when the ship's public address system blared to life.
Major Circuit to the hangar.
And the system clicked off. If she didn't go now, it would become more urgent. Then that urgency would turn to one of the ship's security officers knocking heavily at the door to her quarters. Things would only go downhill from there. Better to just get this over with, better to simply do her duty, and be done with it all. The hangar on the Paratus wasn't especially large. It wasn't a ship intended for combat, but it was enough for a pair of large transport shuttles to comfortably sit side by side with some room to spare. All around, the sounds of the crew bustling around and preparing one of the ships for departure sounded, echoing around the volume of the hangar. In front of the shuttle, a group of the ship's crew was arrayed along with the selection of fleet general officers who were standing in for an actual science team on this assignment. Arania wasn't overly surprised not to see Captain Shigisi there. The man had already said his part and had no reason to be there. As she walked up to the assembled group, she caught sight of Lieutenant Scalby, wearing a freshly cleaned uniform along with a standard-issue officer's beret, in a jade green that matched her uniform, of course, tucked in between her horns. The lieutenant stopped in front of Arania and snapped off a salute. She seemed more in her element than she had the night before.
Major Circuit, ma'am. Away team present and assembled for departure on your order.
She held out a bulky tablet computer, the kind that the fleet issued to command officers for a variety of functions. Arania nodded and took the tablet, glancing down quickly but not really bothering to look through it. There would be plenty of time for that on the flight down.
Lieutenant, do you mind giving me a general idea of what we're getting into? The mission briefing previously was a little light on details.
Ma'am, I'm afraid not. The details of the operation are classified as ears only. I believe colony leadership will have the final details.
Fine, Arania said, feeling the exasperation in her own voice. At least tell me a little bit more about the colony, the planets, anything, really?
She started off towards the ship, not even bothering to see if Lieutenant Scalby would fall in beside her. The jade looked like she'd spent her share of time kissing ass. She wouldn't be far behind.
Well, ma'am, it's a class beta colony world.
That was interesting. A world that was considered to be roughly as habitable as Bephorus's least habitable regions, but no more. Harsh sunlight and limited access to fresh water, but nothing overtly poisonous. Very interesting.
It was discovered approximately 5 sweeps ago and settled last sweep.
Also interesting. A newer colony. Probably wouldn't be very well established,
Arania nodded along as she crossed the flight deck and started up the ramp leading onto the shuttle.
Excellent. Tell me about the local flora and fauna.
Nothing exceptional. Plant life is mostly stunted due to the harsh desert condition of most of the planet. There's some more temperate weather by the planet's poles, but nothing much more than certain species of scrub grass and moss.
She paused, and Arania glanced back to see the lieutenant's face deep in thought, trying to remember the information packet on the planet. Arania had already read it.
Animal life is minimal. Some small species of lizards and plenty of insects. A few higher-order life forms near the northern pole of the planet, but nothing especially complex. No intelligent life, although...
Also?
Arania hadn't bothered to read this far into the packet.
Well, ma'am, there's extensive evidence of some ancient civilization on the planet, although the ruins we've found are in excess of 5,000 sweeps old, give or take. There's very little left to examine, but reports from the colonists and early survey teams indicate some signs of a highly advanced set of life forms.
Interesting. And it was interesting. It was rare to find planets that showed evidence of sentient life. Not unheard of, but usually it was nothing especially advanced. Some kind of talking rodent or a glorified tree sloth or something similar. Usually no more intelligent than a Lucis, but sometimes there were reports of more interesting finds. It was, after all, a big galaxy. Arania walked down the shuttle's short corridor and took her seat in the rear passenger compartment, sitting down in the heavily padded crash seat and buckling herself in. Lieutenant Scalby did the same next to her, looking somewhat nervous as she did it. In spite of herself, she could feel the anxiety washing off of her.
Not a fan of flying away missions, Lieutenant.
No, ma'am, never been very fond of them.
That was an interesting note for a fleet lieutenant.
Never considered the cloisters as an alternative.
She heard a hard gulp next to her and turned to see Lieutenant Scalby biting her lip.
Ma'am, I'd rather be locked up in a culling center.
Arania nodded thoughtfully and closed her eyes. The headache was still there, still pinching its way to the front of her brain, still hurting her just as much as it had before, still reminding her how wrong this whole thing was starting to feel.
Well, maybe a planet-side assignment, once you're done with this one. Something in the Imperial Observatory, perhaps.
That brought a smile to the lieutenant's face. And all at once, Arania found herself making a silent promise that she would find another assignment for this helpful but anxious jade blood lieutenant.
Shall we, then?
The lieutenant smiled and settled into her crash seat, sinking back into the padding and closing her eyes. After a moment, Arania did the same. The shuttle had no windows or observation screens in the back, so there was nothing much else to do but wait. A half hour later, Arania found herself jolting awake as the shuttle touched down heavily on the ground. Not waiting for the pilot to announce anything, she unbuckled herself and stood up. Next to Arania, Lieutenant Scalby was pushing herself to her feet as well, looking more than a little bit unsteady. She hadn't fallen asleep on the flight down. In fact, she looked like she wasn't going to be sleeping very well in general for the next couple of days.
She really could use a planet-side assignment.
Arania finally decided that it was time to review the tablet she'd been given. It looked like the data feed had been supplemented by real-time updates from the colony itself. Apparently, the colony's acting leader was some olive-blood washout named Charon Krajeeb. They'd been given the assignment when the teal blood who had originally pulled the assignment had died in a shuttle accident the perigee before. A Class Beta colony, maybe, but a shitty Class Beta colony. The kind of colony that folks claimed was cursed after a while. All the more reason to complete this mission and get back to before us. She and the lieutenant went directly to the exit, where the shuttle's commanding officer was already lowering the exit ramp and swinging open the latch. As soon as the door cracked open, Arania was hit with a blast of hot air that felt like a Bephoran desert at high noon. She winced, wishing that she'd bothered to pack the kind of clothing that was appropriate for such a hot climate. That bit hadn't been in the data report, although she supposed it should have been self-evident.
"Ma'am, that's hot!"
Lieutenant Scalby exclaimed from where she was standing to the right and slightly behind Arania.
"Sorry, Major. I'm not used to this."
"You'll get used to it," Arania said snappily. "Eventually."
Stepping through the hatch and down the ramp was an exercise in discomfort, the blending of the ship's carefully climate-controlled air and Colony World 508's blast furnace daytime. Why couldn't they have aimed for a night landing? Probably the higher-ups didn't want to wait any longer than strictly necessary,
and the colony did technically have a sunlight survivability index of 7, which was practically tolerable. She squinted her eyes against the light until they could adjust and she could take a look at the surroundings that would probably be her main source of stimulus for the next week or so. The planetary report had undersold just how desolate the place was. The rolling hills resembled sand dunes if the dunes were made from cracked hardpack instead of soft sand. A few hard-growing plants had managed to survive, and Arania had no doubt that there was some kind of insect life to be found, if she were inclined to look. It was hard to imagine any civilization thriving here, let alone one advanced enough to leave traces that lasted for 5,000 sweeps. There was a lot that could happen to a planet's climate, not to mention population, in 5,000 sweeps. The shuttle had landed on top of some kind of natural elevated formation, probably chosen for its proximity to the colony that seemed to have taken over the job of being the colony's informal landing pad. A few other shuttlecraft rested there, along with some basic atmospheric transport craft. Everything had a thick layer of dust over it. Didn't seem like they did much flying around here. Or the dust was even worse than she first suspected. And there, standing at the edge of the landing pad, was a troll wearing a massive, broad-brimmed hat with their horns jammed right through the middle. They had some kind of bandana pulled up to cover their mouth and nose, and it looked like they were wearing protective sun goggles to shield their eyes from the midday sun. All in all, it was the kind of outfit that Arania wished she was wearing, rather than the fleet officer's uniform that was rapidly deteriorating into a sweat-drenched mess. She walked up to this troll quickly, trying to remain as calm and collected as possible.
"You're Charon?"
Arania asked, already knowing the likely answer. The troll nodded and pulled down their mask, revealing a grinning set of teeth. When they spoke, their voice was low and meandering, taking forever to get to the point.
"Yes, ma'am. That's me, all right."
"Right. My name is Major Circuit, and this is Lieutenant Scalby. We're here to represent the Imperial Science Division, along with our science crew on the shuttle."
The site crew, which would wait until Arania gave them detailed instructions about exactly where they should be going and what they should be doing.
"Well, shoot, that's fantastic,"
Charon drawled out, sounding somehow both excited and intensely disinterested at the same time.
"Suppose we should probably get you two out to the dig site, if that's okay, of course."
Arania was hot, starting to sweat profusely, tired, thirsty. Her clothes were starting to itch. She wasn't sure what Charon meant by dig site, and a large part of her wanted not to ever answer that question. More than anything, as she wanted to walk back into the shuttle, return to the Paratus, and never come back to this world ever again. But none of that was ever on the table. Not in terms of duty to the Empire, and not in terms of satisfying her own burning curiosity about this strange world on the edge of nowhere. So she simply smiled in return, and swept a hand out in a gesture of half-hearted acceptance.
"Of course, lead the way. What should I refer to you as?"
Charon shrugged.
"Just Charon is fine, ma'am. If that's okay."
"Of course, Charon. Lead the way. Let's see what's so interesting."
"All right,"
Charon responded, a small smile playing across their face.
"But I'm warning you. It's kind of a doozy."
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.